chariot and horse, army and warrior, they lie down. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my grace. And this is Matthew, chapter 28, 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age."
I'm actually not quite sure why we even have a sermon or a message from the minister. I enjoy everything else that happens in this worship time far more than the message. Everything that is done in this church is a far better sermon than what I could ever offer. But we'll end, the service will end too quickly if I don't say something. Can you believe that it is Thanksgiving already? Can you believe that we have just had our first snowfall? To me, it seems like just yesterday that I had my candidacy sermon in July, and we all sat here baking. I remember I asked the deacon for a towel so that I would not perspire on the bread and the wine. So this week is Thanksgiving. And for many, it's really a time of reconnecting, of reuniting. And since the time is too short for my own children to visit me, I must really satisfy my urge to be an annoying dad by choosing two zingers, you know, dad jokes, to deliver on Thursday via phone. So I would like all of you here to perhaps evaluate them, to determine whether or not they are worthy enough to be dad jokes. So for my son, who just did very, very well on his calculus and on his physics midterm exams, I have this one. What do you get if you divide the circumference of a pumpkin by its diameter? The answer is a pumpkin hi. Is that dumb, dad joke? Okay, here, a couple thumbs up. Okay, now for my daughter, who after the new year will begin to look at universities, I have this one. If pilgrims travel on the Mayflower, what do college students travel on? And the answer is, of course, scholarships.
Oh. That's worse.
Ouch. So those are the two that I'm going to give my empty nester kids. So Thanksgiving. both of which these jokes relate to, our scripture speaks about thanksgiving, but not in a manner that most of us would normally think. We traditionally think of thanksgiving for things that in the past or even in the present. Yet our reading from Isaiah, encourages us to forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And the prophet continues, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So the prophet is asking us not to really think about the past, but the future. And I find it strange, I think, for a prophet in the Hebrew tradition, whose primary practice of faith is to remember. In the Hebrew tradition, it's remember, remember, remember. It's to remember to advise those listening to not forget about the past. But Isaiah says precisely the opposite. Forget the things of the past. Now, if one examines the Hebrew faith, the traditions, the feasts, the scriptures, the teachings, they are almost all primarily about the past. The Hebrew faith, then and now, orients itself around an emphasis of how fundamental it is to the soul to recall the ways in which God has been faithful in the past. And this looking back on the past is important. I mean, we have descendants of our own church historian, Dorothy, here with us in the pews this morning. To look back on the past is important. It is beautiful. It is an imperative. And the past is a treasure when we observe that our God has been with us. The greatest act of divine guidance in the Hebrew scriptures is, of course, the Exodus. And this is precisely the Exodus that Isaiah remembers with deep reverence. But immediately after conjuring the image of the chariots drowning in the sea, the scripture from Isaiah advises us to forget. Not to dwell on that which is remembered. And there it is. As Richard Rohr so often asks, can you think like that? Can you hold two opposites at the same time in creative and life-giving tension? Can we forget? Can we not dwell upon the past that we should remember? If you can do that, then that is the beginnings of wisdom. Forget about it. Don't dwell upon the past that should be remembered. The writer Isaiah seems to know that a life that remembers only the past is dead. And a life is dead if that which is to come cannot be celebrated. The writer of Isaiah knew that to only give thanks for the past is a sign of spiritual death. Friends, I want to be honest with you. Like many, this Thanksgiving, I will be struggling. I will struggle with the loss of my childhood family and the annual Thanksgivings I spent in Massachusetts and Maine as a child. It is a past that I remember was simpler, it was sweeter, it was more loving, it was calmer, it was more fundamental, it was essential, it was nourishing. And I will also struggle with the loss of my most recent family. My past with them in South Africa was rich. It was fulfilling. It was meaningful. It was loyal. It was loving. It was exciting. And it was reassuring. My wife is now former, and my children are now out of the nest. But yes, I am thankful for God, for everything in my past. But the scriptures remind me I am dead if I only remain there, only thankful for the things of the past. The scriptures in my God call me to be thankful for what is to come. Can I do that? Can I thank God for that which is yet to come? Can you thank God for your future? Is it possible? Do you have enough faith? Do I? Do you have enough confidence that God is still working through and in us? A mantra of our faith tradition is, God is still speaking. And I love this mantra because it points to an imperative to offer thanksgiving for the future that is to come. God says to us every day, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Friends, I'm going to ask us all on Thursday, and I want you to remember this, on Thursday, when you are with your families, when you're at your table, when you are praying, and I will do the same with you, I am going to ask us not to simply give thanks for the past or the present, but rather to offer God thanks for the future, for what is to come in our lives and what is to come in the life of this congregation. Thank you, God, for tomorrow. For tomorrow. Our Christian scripture reading captured this hope for the future, which we are compelled to give thanks for. It's a celebration and an awe for new things that are to come, that are to be celebrated this Thanksgiving. Jesus assured his disciples, and I quote, all heaven and authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely, surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Now I ask you, is that about the past? No. It's all about the future. I and the women in Women's Spirit read these words about our gospel reading this past Thursday. Quote, was this a missionary charge to the heathens? Not a chance. There was no institutional church at that time that felt a need to gain converts. Rather, the risen Christ was saying, go beyond your boundaries, go beyond your fears, go beyond your lines of security, learn to give yourselves away, and know that you are part of who I am. Jesus says to his disciples, we cannot be separated. Friends, you may have perhaps thought that I have forgot that this is Pledge Sunday. I promise you I have not. Our pledge cards are our thanksgiving. Not necessarily for the past, but for our future. The pledge cards indicate our faith and confidence in the future more so than our nostalgia for the past. With my pledge card, I give thanksgiving for the new things that God will do with loaves and fishes in 2019. With my pledge card, I give thanks for the new things that God will do with the Brattleboro Center for Children. With my pledge card, I give thanks for the new things God will do for our sister parish in El Salvador. And with my pledge card, I give thanks for what God will do in the future with Carry Me Home. With this card, with this pledge, I give thanks for what God will do with this building, which is an instrument of God's peace in this congregation, in this community. And with my pledge card, I give thanks for what God will do in the lives of our young ones through Christian Education's Faith in Action. With my pledge card, I give thanks for the ways in which God will use Mary, God will use Bruce, God will use John to enable our ministry to be the most effective it can be. And with our pledge card, we will give thanks for the ways in which God will continue to increase my love for all of you. And I will use my pledge card to offer my thanksgiving for the way in which God will further graft my spirit to this ministry here in Brattleboro. Yes, I give thanks with my pledge card for the past, but I give thanks more so for what is to come, the future. This was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded, Amen. Amen.